coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hello and welcome. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard they try. HagmanReportLive.com, that's where you'll find the audio video programs. That's HagmanReportLive.com for Hagman video audio programs, HagmanReportLive.com. Commit that to memory or just simply bookmark it. Your choice, you can do either. HagmanReport.com, that's our primary website. From there, you can get to every place, including our social network, which includes Hagman Report Facebook, Hagman Report Twitter, while we still have it, the YouTube channel, and, of course, my personal YouTube and Facebook. Obviously, there are many headlines. This is day number, what, 54, 55? I don't know. But certainly too many days of Portland riots, right? You've seen them? You see them on the news every night, right? Oh, you don't. Okay, well, the communist revolutionaries are busy in Portland. And, of course, they're chanting there, every city, every town, burn the precincts to the ground. And what do we see the mayor do? Nothing. How about Seattle? Nothing. How many homicides in Chicago, this weekend? I think they did a mid-weekend, wrap or mid-weekend update because, you know, I think there was like 57 shootings, six dead by Saturday night. I don't recall the exact numbers, but you know, it's there. That lesbianic Lori Lightfoot, of course, saying, oh, we gotta control the guns. No, you gotta control the people. The criminals, that is. I'm angry today, and I suspect I'm going to be angry for a while. I'm angry every day, according to ask any member of my family. But I believe it's a righteous anger. If you don't, I don't care. How's that? I think it's a righteous anger. Let me get this straight. Let me get this straight in my head. You got a bunch of snot-nosed, wet behind the ears, tattooed, pierced in all the wrong places, children living in their mom's basement or living off the teat of the system, throwing a temper tantrum in these blue cities while people like the mayor of Portland, I don't even want to mention their names, and the mayor of Seattle, New York, it's okay. We have an insurrection taking place. I took to Twitter in my I think it was my personal, I'm not sure. It's either Hagman Report or my personal Twitter today. I said, paging Paul Leonard Kersey. That's right. I think, look, my backup gun is a 45. It's my backup. These aren't protesters. These aren't this is an insurrection. For the last time, maybe not for the last time. I'm just getting tired of saying this. This is not over. White on black, police against, you know, killing a black person, George Floyd. This is not about that. They'll tell you that's what it's about. No, it's not. This is not organic. This is not spontaneous. This is not disorganized. This is organized. It is highly funded. It is highly, highly organized. It is directed. And if I was a cop, by the way, and you know, God must have knew. And I was told to stand down. We'd have problems. We'd have some severe problems. 12 Seattle police officers were injured. Several Seattle businesses were damaged by these communist thugs. You're not hearing it. Of course, you know, they're just, they needed that right to protest. And I don't know how many of you saw this. Do you see the moms come out there? Eric the Tech, it's Monday, and I'm angry, and that's nothing new.
Rawr.
Do you see the mothers come out in where was it, Portland, and lock arms, I guess?
No, I did not.
I think I put that on my Twitter, and something to the effect of, what does this picture remind you of? I'm wearing my, thank you, by the way. You know who you are. Thank you. Yeah, that's a, looks like my model, 29 Smith & Wesson Dirty Harry special. By the way, how many happen to see this murder take place?
This is what you're talking about, right?
Let's do this first, yeah. Yeah, what do I write there? Oh, is anyone thinking what I'm thinking? Look at that picture. And just tell me, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And look, you don't need to know what I'm thinking. It's fun. What I'm thinking is rather humorous. I couldn't post it because, you know.
Short bus?
Short bus. That's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all of that. Of course, the mommies ran away as soon as it got a little bit, foggy, shall we say, there. Mm-hmm. And then somebody took me to task. And I, look, I'm a Christian, all right? I'm not a perfect Christian. But one thing for sure, and let me be clear about this. I am not a pastor. I am not a minister. I'm a Christian. I believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ, all right? So don't expect me to preach. Don't expect me to be a minister. I'm not that. I couldn't do what Pastor Langford does. I could never do that. Man, what he does, oh, goodness, he's such a great pastor. All right. And he counsels me on my anger, rightfully so. Just don't make me come up there.
I counsel him too with the baseball bat.
Yeah, but first of all, you'd never hit me, and second of all, I'm not going to say it because, you know, never bring a baseball bat to a, you know. All right. So okay. So we have all of that going on. And I just smacked that. That's the way it is. So we have all of that going on.
Stop touching the mic.
Okay.
It's Monday.
Yeah. And, you know, Roger Stone, he was on a LA radio show.
No, he's a racist now.
Okay. Let me tell you this, what they did to him, and he was on InfoWars today. Whether with Owen Schroyer, he was talking to Owen Schroyer today. I don't know. And he explained the whole situation. And let me tell you something. When When you're sitting here, or when you are a guest on someone's program, and having been on multiple programs as a guest myself, now what I try to do is I try to use studio equipment. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes I can't. So I have to use a phone, sometimes a cordless phone. I remember a couple of times cell phones. The absolute worst, by the way. And during this show, I mean, he was cut off multiple times. He was getting feed, listening in his ear or on the phone from people talking in French. Okay. A French show. So reportedly he said the word Negro. Now that's reportedly. He'll tell you, you can go on Band.Video video and you can listen to this, what he said. Well, gee, that's a correct term. That's not racist. Now, I don't know, maybe that's not preferred. That's not a common term, but it certainly is not racist. Watch Dragnet. Watch Highway Patrol with Broderick Crawford or Adam 12 or whatever. Now you might say, oh, well, that's just antiquated then. Okay, maybe so. It's fallen out of fashion, but certainly it's not racist. But people, now that's assuming that he said it, which I don't necessarily believe he did, because when you listen to the audio, guts to tell you, they can do things with audio. When I say they, I'm talking about people who want to besmirch your reputation. Yes, I said besmirch. So they could take what I say right here and they could cut it up and do different things. I've seen that happen. And, you know, that's just a step above, you know, these morons out there, you know, creating these characters anyway.
Which are quite funny.
We actually, some are. some are.
But dude must not have a job.
I do laugh at this.
Dude's got his computer in his mama's basement. Eating ramen.
Yeah. The ones that offend me are the ones that are blasphemous. That I don't like. That, don't do that. Don't do that. You can do anything you want to me, but don't be blasphemous. Okay. One of the bigger stories now, and look, you know, I think it should be said right now that we need to talk. We need to have a conversation to ask what's going on. This weekend, a person dressed in a FedEx uniform shoots dead judge's son, 20, and leaves this judge's husband critical. This days after she took on the Epstein-linked case. Now, John Moore and I can talk about this, but I want you to take a look at this story. And I don't need to tell you what to think. I don't need to tell you, look, I don't need to say anything. Just look at the facts. You decide. Okay? You decide. That's all. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. I got to tell you. He's got a marvelous resume. If you haven't done so already, listen to his radio broadcast on RBN. Go to thelibertyman.com and click on the little audio icon there for the current show and drill down for the previous show or the archives. It's on RBN. He's gracious enough to give me 2 hours of his time. I think the last 12 minutes just listen to me flop my gums. So let's bring John on. John, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing, Doug?
Terrific. Terrific, my friend. So All right. I don't know where you want to start, but, you know, John, look, I know you're a Law and Order guy. Okay, I am too. But I got to tell you this. I'm done. That's it. I'm done. Here's what I think. I think that we need somebody like Paul Kersey of Death Wish fame out there in the streets of Portland, Seattle, and elsewhere. Perhaps maybe Chicago. And we'll see how quickly things turn around. Just my opinion, one man's opinion. That's mine. I'm not saying it's right. Certainly not lawful. But you want lawlessness? Okay. Okay. I'm okay with that. If you want to be lawless, you want to break down the door of my house? Okay. You want to take down the federal court? Okay. We'll play that way. So, John, that's what I feel. I don't know. I'm done.
Well, what the communists are looking for is a lot of us, middle-aged white males, to say we're done and to have violent pushback. I need to get myself centered here. I'm going the wrong direction.
Okay. You want to play that way? Okay. Yeah, how long do you think they'd last?
They want, in fact, I would not be surprised if the opposition, who I call the Socialist, Communist, Democrats, Muslims, would pre-position their own snipers to shoot and murder their own people, giving the appearance that the police shot them.
Yeah.
Our white civilians shot them, either one, when in fact it was their own people doing a shooting. We had a similar situation in Vietnam occasionally where local Americans out in a remote area would reach a truce, a local truce with a local Viet Cong. Hey guys, we won't shoot at you if you won't shoot at us. And that might go on for weeks or months until the army found out about it. Then the army would send out army snipers to shoot at both sides to get the war going again. So there is precedence for this. And I would not be surprised at all if that would happen, Doug, because our opposition, they cannot allow President Trump to be elected. They can't. They're done for two generations. If President Trump gets reelected, they need to either stop the election or commit enough vote fraud that they win, which they're going to make a diligent attempt to do a lot of vote fraud, of course, which is why we need to keep reminding you and I, Doug, keep reminding people to get registered to vote and actually go to the polls. It's shocking how many conservative Americans haven't even bothered to register and, of course, can't vote. There's a cutoff date. Depends on the jurisdiction. But you can't wait till a few days before the election to register to vote. You won't be allowed to register to vote if you wait too long. So I'd rather win at the ballot box than have to resort to the bullet box, quite frankly. And keep trying. If it goes kinetic, as the popular term is, becomes a shooting war, I'm ready to deal with it. I've been through one war. If I have to go through another one, I'll do what I need to do. But I'd rather not, quite frankly.
Rather not either. Yeah. I mean, truth be told, I certainly, you know, you talk. You say things like, however, there was a quote, I don't remember, I saw it this weekend, and a guy was asked, a guy who fought against communists, asked what it felt to take a human life, and he says, I don't know, I've only taken those of the communists. Now, okay.
There's another way to answer that question. What do you feel when you shoot a communist? Recoil.
Recoil. First time I've laughed all day, I think, except when
you need to laugh. You
know, yeah.
You need to laugh.
But John, look, I get that. I mean, I get that. There's that possibility out there. There's, you know, but here's the thing. You think for one flipping minute that Donald Trump's victory on November 3rd is going to make any damn difference to these morons out there with the, you know?
No, not at all.
Okay. So
Well, look what happened following his inauguration. Very well orchestrated, planned well in advance. Those women wearing those costumes those had to be fabricated weeks in advance. They didn't just happen overnight.
Sure.
It was a lot of pre-planning. And they will be outraged when the president gets reelected. And if there's a free and fair election, of course he'll be reelected. That's a given. He'll be reelected. And they'll be outraged and they'll be motivated and they'll be paid, trained, and equipped by George Soros to move forward with more communist insurgency. That's exactly what will happen.
Well, it's already George Soros. It was reported today, this morning, that he's contributing, his organizations are contributing multiple, what is it? Oh, I just read it this morning. You might know what it is. But anyway, a bunch of money, doubling the money that, just a ton of money. How's that? Black Lives Matter and for, these Black Lives Matter related groups. So, okay. By the way, a couple other things I didn't mention initially. Watch about the president's executive order on Hong Kong normalization, because that to me could spark a global conflict as well. But anyway, we can talk about all these stuff. What's on, I don't mean to dominate. I'm just so sick and tired, John, of these mayors, these leftist mayors allowing this stuff to happen, not taking serious protecting their people. I mean, if I worked at that, well, again, if somebody's pounding on my door, throwing fireworks and setting fires in my place of business, I'll tell you what, the last thing they'd have to worry about is, running away from the gas, tear gas. So anyway. So, right. Where do you want to start? Because I could just punch the monitor, put my fist right through the monitor, grab you by the neck, and pull you into the studio, politely.
Well, the two big issues on the table are the Chinese flu, COVID-19, and the communist insurrection. We've already dealt with the communist insurrection a bit. More and more evidence is coming out that the Chinese flu, what's being reported in the mainstream media and by various agencies, is a complete fraud. In Florida, 100% of all people tested positive. That can't happen, Doug. It's impossible. But that's what happened in Florida. They exposed themselves clearly to everybody who has an IQ above 80, I think, that it's a complete fraud. I don't have TV, but I do have access to TV on the internet. And so I was watching some Fox, a local St. Louis affiliate, Fox affiliate, news broadcast. I was doing some work and had it kind of on in the background. So I watched several news broadcasts, and every one, without fail, began with the latest updates on a number of new infections and number of fatalities for Illinois and Missouri. It's fear is contagious, Doug. And what the drumbeats they're doing is to drum up fear. What they want is people to be so fearful that they will demand the vaccine, which I expect to see shortly after Labor Day. People will be demanding the vaccine. They'll be paying bribes to get in line first to get the vaccine. There's not going to be an issue with people accepting it. 95-96% of the people will be clamoring to get the vaccine. And that's what's going to kill people. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
I really hope, and maybe this is a wrong way to feel. Again, I'm a baby Christian, I guess, but I really hope that there are people who say, oh, give me the vaccine, and they rush and they pile, over one another, because that takes the heat off of the people who don't want it. I wouldn't take it. You're not going to take it, right?
Hardly. Okay. Hardly.
Yeah.
Hardly.
All right. So, what? You can take, no, it ain't happening. So that way, we don't have to take it. But what's up with this Operation Warp Speed? Is Donald Trump still, pushing this? Now people are misrepresenting this. He's saying, we'll use the military to help get the vaccines to the people who want it. But people leave that "who want it" off and say, oh, look, Donald Trump, he's all for vaccines.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, there's some policy issues here, but I'm not sure Donald Trump, the man, in the policies are pushing this. But anyway, so I can't remember where I was at. So,
Well, warp speed is good. Yeah. People, peace of mind that everything's being done to move a vaccine for approval as quick as possible. I've been telling people since March that the vaccine's been in refrigerators for a year.
And
I think it has. We got the audio. Well, it's a video clip on my website of the Fox News employee coming out of the door for the White House briefing room where the president, the same door the president comes through. And he's telling people in the room, oh, don't worry about, we don't need to worry about masks. We already got our vaccines. And that's been posted now for a better part of 2 months, Doug. And it's crystal clear audio. You don't have to guess what's being said. So this vaccine is already out there. By the way, you can't create a vaccine in 3 months. That can't be done. Not even if you believe in vaccines, that can't be done. That vaccine's been prepared for many, many months. So
tell me how that's possible then. So tell me how that's possible.
The only way that can happen is the virus was known many months ago, at least a year ago, because it takes so long to develop a vaccine that's both safe and effective, which I don't believe either one, quite frankly, myself. But the timeline can't be speeded up. You have to have the virus first before you do the vaccine, obviously. But vaccine development just can't pop out of a box. It needs months to develop. And for this Fox News employee to make that statement, it throws off the whole timeline about what really happened by many, many months, many months. And the video's right there on my website at thelibertyman.com for people to look at. And also Bill Gates. We need to keep reminding us, because people, not everybody knows this, Doug. There's something called TED Talks. They've been around for a number of years.
Oh,
TED
I've watched Talks. Many of them.
And Bill Gates gave a TED Talk.
Yep.
And in that TED Talk, in a video, once again, is on my website at thelibertyman.com. He talks about population reduction with vaccines. Now, there's two ways that can be done. There's not a third way. One way is to sterilize people. The other way is to murder them. There's no third way to reduce population with vaccines that I can think of. Can you, Doug, think of another way?
No.
And he's so proud of his plan that he went, doing a TED Talk about as public as it gets, Doug, really. Very public. And he's very proud of what he's done. And either he thinks we're too stupid to figure it out or we won't care. I'm not sure what. But he did do the TED Talk and it's right there to watch.
Gates, what's his end game?
His end game is the same as the Georgia Guidestones.
All right.
Have a beautiful, green, pristine planet. These people, they worship Gaia.
Right.
They worship Mother Earth.
I agree.
And we people are the virus, according to their belief system. And they want a pristine green play planet for them to play on with 500 million people instead of 7.5 billion or whatever it is. That's their goal. And they fully intend to achieve their goal in their lifetime. We've all seen the Deagle Report where in 4.5 years, the Deagle Report, which is a high-level think tank, Fortune 500 companies pay this corporation, this think tank, for their advice. That's who Deagle is.
Okay.
And they predict 4.5 years from now, the American population will be one-third the size it is now, with two-thirds of the population dead.
Right. Yeah, I thought the numbers might be a little off, but yeah, that's what they correct. You're correct. Yep. So,
all these things are coming together at one time. We've got the election coming up. We got a fabricated coin shortage. I got a report from Montana that the Walmart in Kalispell, Montana, was refusing to accept cash for transactions, and there was so much pushback they finally went back to accepting cash. So they're going forward with everything they've got, Doug, to go to a cashless society and have people clamor for a vaccine, not allowing churches to have outdoor services where people are more than 6 feet away, for example. They're going for broke. All these issues at the same time. And many people feel like a punch drunk boxer up there getting hit from the left, hit from the right, hit from a body punch, with all these issues happening at the same time, which of course, several of these issues come together are collapsing, literally collapsing our economy, literally. And that's one of the goals
the same
also.
Way. Yeah. And, you know, to relate to the people out there, I do feel the same way. Let me ask you a question because Eric the Tech is looking for this. That video that you referenced, I'd like people, because people may not know what you're talking about. I'd like people to be able to access.
TED Talk?
No. The, where the, I think it was in the briefing room, the press room.
That video. Yeah,
that one. What's it called? Is that under COVID-19 updates?
It's under the COVID-19 updates, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I can find it.
Here. Hot mic. Yeah. Okay, it's on Hot mic. White House staffer spills. Okay, yeah. There it is. I just didn't go up far enough.
Right.
To the right. It's under COVID-19 updates, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
Fourth one down.
Right.
Did you get
it?
Video has been removed.
Oh, video has been removed?
Yep.
From YouTube.
Oh.
Community guidelines.
Well, wait a minute.
We should have. I'll talk to my web. Maybe he had the foresight to save it. But if somebody, once those things are loose, they can't erase them. It's been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines, right?
So tell me how that would now. Okay, so the picture is this, and Eric, if you can, hot mic press conference vaccine or something like that. I'm sure the keywords. If you find it, let me know. But now, just exactly how would that be violating YouTube's community guidelines? Well, why?
Well, they make it up as they go, obviously.
Yeah.
That's one of those aha moments when that hot mic incident that we're, you know, we're broadcast journalists, Doug, you and I. That's one of the things we're always looking for. One of those spontaneous, unrehearsed things that just happen. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful incident.
Yeah, it's yeah. I
like
just,
the hot mic, like another hot mic, well-known hot mic incident is Obama talking to Medvedev.
Yeah, that's right.
Let Vladimir know they'll have more flexibility after I get reelected. That's been spread wide and far and wide, that hot mic incident.
Not to be confused with a wardrobe malfunction. Anyway, yeah, hot mics. It's interesting. And by the way, this one fear I always have is, boy, you're near a microphone, you just have to make sure it's like a gun. You make sure you handle every gun as if it's loaded, and if you're by a mic, make sure you treat every mic as if it's on. Anyway, but I did hear that hot mic moment at the White House, and yeah. Already got the vaccine, so you're right. By the way, I want to show you this. I know we're going to flip back, if you don't mind, just to the communist insurrection. This is did you see what happened to Michelle Malkin? Did you see what happened to her?
Something recent?
Yesterday or Saturday or yesterday?
No, what happened?
All right. Well, here's the deal. In Denver, they had a Appreciate the Police Day, but. That's not the right word. It's backing the police, Police Appreciation Day, or it was an annual event in Denver.
Right.
So they gather in this location in the city of Denver, and they bring speakers in, and the police are lauded for their praised for their bravery and their activity, you know, for what they do. So Michelle Malkin was one of the speakers. Now, this video, and by the way, this is Denver now. So on the other side of the way, way far, like a couple hundred yards away, Antifa people doing whatever they do. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so either they saw Michelle Malkin or they knew about the event or both. Now, the first 20 minutes or so, So Michelle Malkin walk into this event, and I'm not going to bore you with that. And the whole video is online. But this couple of minutes here, I thought was really, really interesting. What happens when she gets to the venue? It's outside. She's got people supposedly protecting her. She's got, now this is a pro police event. This is thank you police for being, for doing what you do. That's kind of the setup for this. Excruciating long, perhaps unnecessarily, but that's the setup. Take a look at what happened. We'll run this and you can yell stop or I'll yell stop when it's really enough is enough. Go ahead, Eric. But I want to get your take on this. Go ahead, Eric. This is the event, by the way. By the way, this is after they said Pledge of Allegiance.
There's a flag over there. We protect the flag. They're burning it. We have no idea what the flag is.
Well, we give thanks to God right now. Ron McLaughlin, are you here?
Yes. Now we're going to pray. Something else these people are allergic to.
Thank you, every one of you, for coming out today. We do have the First Amendment right. We all have to say what we want to say in this country. So say what you have to say. But we will start this day off in a moment of prayer. It is time for us to get an invocation. So dear Lord, please and thank you so much for the day in which we are. Please watch over everybody here today, our men and women of law enforcement, our men and women who are here to support our men and women of law enforcement.
They're approaching.
Here we go.
Thank you so very much. We love you. Amen. Let's get this thing going.
Remember, folks, this is pro police.
Out of control.
So I'm a big country fan. Any country fans out there? One of my idols that I look up to, my name is Johnny Cash.
I know I'm not moving.
All right, but it's all good. Here's some Johnny Cash for you. Let's start it off.
Kept this in because you're going to, I think you would have seen or maybe will see a line of police.
Get up! Don't touch me! Get up! You don't belong here! This is not a rally! Go back to the other side! You touch her first!
See that? Watch that. See that?
Get back on your side.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Eric, can you just rewind that like 10 seconds?
We don't do anything. We're doing. Get back on your side. We left you alone. We
Those things hurt, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They knocked her out of her shoes in the tussle.
I lost my shoes.
You didn't see that, but that's what happened. She lost a shoe now. You can watch this. It's everywhere on YouTube. This was a Periscope. I won't drag this out anymore. You saw the majority of it. Now you tell me, and I want to know, you tell me, if you would have been there, John, you tell me you wouldn't have taken, how can I phrase this? You wouldn't have de-escalated the situation with the people that were there. People that were whooping on Michelle Malkin. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you would have just taken her to safety. But frankly, I'm tired of this crap. I am tired of this crap. This has happened in every single freaking city in this country, and I'm tired of it. And this is why, in my view, we need some patriots to stand up and say, you know what? Not now. Not anymore. Get the hell off my lawn. To you, John.
Okay, well, was that Michelle holding that camera? I wasn't sure who was.
Yeah, she was holding it.
She was, okay.
Barely, yeah.
I've done events, security at events for, pretty big name people like, Ambassador Alan Keyes and Charlton Heston and so forth. And, whoever's in charge of that security there, if there was somebody, should be thoroughly embarrassed, because there was no security that I could tell. When I have a event like that, I have three perimeters, the outside perimeter and inside perimeter, and then, actually four layers. And anybody who's not part of what we're doing doesn't get past the second perimeter. That's simply not allowed. And I didn't see anything that even looked like a perimeter to protect where the speakers and the musicians were. It looked completely unopened, completely unguarded, completely open with no perimeter at all, to protect the speakers and the musicians from anything happening. I simply didn't see that there at all. It appeared to be no more well organized than maybe a music group in the quadrangle of a university on a Friday afternoon. That's a level of organization that I saw, which was a complete lack of organization, a complete lack of security. If Michelle had any security at all, it was not evident. Not even she.
I can't believe she didn't. I mean, I don't think she did.
Well, it's not her responsibility. It's the responsibility of the people who organize this thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've gone to events that have been organized, and I've said, I asked about security. You have security? No. Well, we have security for the venue. How about for the speakers, or how about for the people? No. You're on your own. So we have to shell out a couple of grand, you know, just to have, security. So anyway, that's
right. Well, it's inexcusable. In a venue like that, when you know ahead of time that there's going to be issues, it's not a mystery. It's not a surprise that that's expected. When I was protecting Ambassador Keys or protecting Charlton Heston and others, I didn't have any direct threats necessarily, but when you got high profile people, especially with Heston, every woman in St. Louis wanted to be near this guy and touch him, you know, not in a adverse or unfriendly manner. They just loved this guy. Women between 20 and 80 years old, they all wanted to be there, but I had to keep that from happening. I couldn't allow that to happen. And that was a friendly situation. It was an NRA event. Charlton Heston was the president of the NRA at the time. He had this massive ballroom. Thousands of people showed up. And so in an unfriendly environment, what I did for Charlton Heston or Ambassador Keys or others would have been even more stringent and even tighter with even a greater level of concern. We had a newspaper reporter from the local communist newspaper that got past two levels of our security, and then they got into the third one before the fourth one, and the reporter ended up in a headlock, off-duty St. Louis City police officer, and the reporter screaming, "I'm a reporter, I'm a reporter," and the police officer saying, "I don't care, I don't care," and it was pretty funny, actually. And I stood between that incident and Mr. Heston, so he didn't have to see the situation going on as he was getting into the limo and leaving the venue. So it's unfortunate. Whoever planned that did not know what the hell they were doing. There was no security of any kind that I could tell taking place at all. There was no excuse for that, Doug. There simply isn't, not in this day and age, especially something honoring the police. I would think there should have been some involvement of off-duty police officers and maybe some active duty as well in an event that's been taking place for a number of years like that. In light of what's going on, everybody knew Black Lives Matter would show up. That was no secret. And to expose this young woman to that kind of abuse and possibly injury is inexcusable.
You're right. You're right on this. By the way, that was Back the Blue rally, and this was the sixth year. This was the sixth year in Denver at the same venue. There's a conservativefiringline.com is reported on this, and there wasn't really a comment about security at all. But according to a reporter at the Gateway Pundit, police officers took no action at first. There's that. If I could put a period there, and then the next part of that is prompting Malcolm to state that Chief Pazin, who marched with BLM last month, let pro-police patriots get beaten and silenced. So here is, now here's the, I suppose here's the what I
well,
consider.
Well, let's not overlook something. You pointed out earlier, there was a white female with a collapsible baton.
Right.
Now, some of those are spring loaded, some are just a baton. Regardless, they have a steel ball on the end of them where you're designed to cause a great amount of pain. The operative term is serious bodily injury or death. Mm-hmm. That kind of weapon could cause death, and certainly could cause a lot of pain and injury. The woman is flipping it down. These things are collapsed. They're about 8 or 10 inches long when they're collapsed, and they expand out to 18 and 24 inches or so. And it's a standard police issue piece of equipment, primarily for undercover officers who need a way to have that type of weapon, but also be able to conceal it until they need it.
Or keeping our employees in line.
So, this white female dressed all in black, clearly Antifa type of person, went to the trouble ahead of time to purchase a weapon. It's not a It's not a make-believe weapon. It's not something being used like a, you know, a baseball bat or something. This is manufactured to be a weapon, and it was bought with the purpose of being used as a weapon. And here she shows up at this event, a weapon in hand, ready to cause great bodily harm or injury or death. She should have been arrested on the spot. Absolutely, she should have been.
Or she should have been rendered to the point of needing a surgery and still in surgery, having that baton, you know, necessitated surgery to have it removed from the body orifice.
But she was right there on the same area as the musicians and Michelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which once again goes to no security. There was no security there. It was non-existent. If there was, none of this would have happened.
Well, right, but right, there was an, and I, we don't have time to go through, and I don't remember at what time marker this was shown, but there were probably a half a dozen, six, seven, eight police officers that were shown that walked right in front of where Michelle was standing there, apparently to handle whatever was going to happen, but. Obviously, that didn't work.
Too little, too late.
Too little, too well.
They came into the scene after the incident had already begun. The criminals had already got to the place, got past where there should have been a perimeter before the police officers walked out there.
So that was
too little, too late.
Okay, I agree. Now, Michelle Malkin tweeted out, "I'm okay. America is not," and that was at 8:37 p.m. on
Did
Saturday.
She get to speak? Did she get to speak?
No, no. The end of the video shows her going back to or being taken out in a vehicle, where she had to walk probably, I don't know, 20, 50 yards to this vehicle. You know, one shoe on, one shoe off. It was a, you know, crap show.
That's pitiful. That's inexcusable.
It is.
That's inexcusable. Is.
But okay. So here's my problem. Okay, explain to me, John, why the police are following orders, and the orders are don't get involved, stand down. What in the hell? What on what planet are we living?
Are you talking about in general or the specific incident here, Doug?
Okay. We saw just now.
In general, they're being told to stand down in Chicago. We've all seen the video of the police surrounding Christopher Columbus statue there.
Right.
That riot should have been declared an illegal assembly, and enough overwhelming police presence to move those people out and or arrest them. But instead, they have an insufficient number of officers, a couple of dozen or so, maybe 20 or 30, surrounding the statue itself rather than moving against the rioters, allowing the rioters to continue to riot. That's not the way you control something. That was putting them on the defensive. The police need to be on the offense.
Right.
Not standing there waiting to have frozen water bottles thrown at them or rocks or bricks, whatever was being thrown. So the Chicago police... what's the size of Chicago Police Department? 2,000 men and women?
I'm not sure what the numbers are.
Well, it probably is. I mean, it's a major police department. They could have brought in enough manpower to overwhelm the rioters, which needed to be done, rather than be on the defense, where it was probably 10 rioters for every cop. Now, what we needed was 10 cops for every rioter.
I agree.
With a show of force that would cause them to back down and leave rather than how humiliating for the police to be surrounding this statue, being humiliated, having things thrown at them, being attacked. That's not acceptable. What it does is embolden the criminals. They're emboldened to do more of it. When you get that kind of response, you're going to get more of it. Now going back to Denver, police apparently were not part of the planning. There was no, it sounds like I don't know much about this back the blue deal, but it sounds to me like it was some kind of civilian organized event, which has had success in past years. But police intelligence in Denver certainly knew that Black Lives Matter were going to show up. Of course they did. Whether the word did not get to the organizers of the Back the Blue event or they didn't care, I don't know. A lot of times, people in that position don't want to offend anybody. Well, the desire not to offend anybody resulted in their guest speaker being attacked. And she could easily have been injured and possibly even murdered in that situation. I doubt that woman with that collapsible baton was the only person there armed. I really sincerely doubt that.
There were probably many
others that were armed and with their intention of causing great bodily harm or injury and possibly death. Any attack like that could result in death, and I would respond with my 1911, as would you.
Oh,
I have no legal obligation to stand there and take a beating. I value my life, and if a man or a woman is trying to hurt me, I have a right to defend my life with deadly force.
Absolutely. And speaking of deadly force, John, I don't know whether you saw this. This is, the organizer of Black Lives Matter, Ty Carpenter, president of Don't Shoot Portland, okay, and daughter of activist Teresa Rayford. I don't know whether you saw this or not. This is about a minute and a half, I think 2 minutes at most, but oh, so important, this message that she delivers, and she's talking to you, John. She's talking to me, and she's talking to every one of you listening and watching this out there. Can you play that?
Ty Carpenter, and I am the president of Don't Shoot Portland. Teresa Rayford is also my mother. And I just want to say, I didn't come here to listen to a sermon. There's no such thing as fucking peaceful protest. That is an exercise. That is an exercise in all lives matter bullshit. And it's not gonna stand. There is no peaceful protest. We are being fucking murdered. Okay? You're speaking to a new generation. So you need to talk like it. You need to talk like it. Peaceful fucking protest. Just like all of y'all, we know this has been happening for the past 50 nights. The only difference is that y'all are finally paying attention. This violence has been happening against us every night. And before George Floyd, PPB has a major fucking problem with white supremacy! That is what it is! That is what it is, point blank! If you want to know the problem, it lies in the city of Portland. This is exactly what they want. And you cannot condemn the actions of Donald Trump's federal troops when you didn't denounce the actions of PPB. We had to file a lawsuit. And what did you do? You continue. You continue. I've seen the live streams. People's mouths getting snatched off and tear gas straight in the face. I've seen the vans rolling up and taking people.
Shit. Talking about for the people. Where are y'all when we need y'all?
Listen.
Stop killing us. We need more than statements. We need fucking change. And we can only do so much as a non-profit organization, but our elected officials, y'all have that power for a reason. We can't do as much as you. You're killing us. You fucking killing us. Black Lives Matter. Fuck the peaceful protests. Thank you.
Note the clergy behind them.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's the first thing I noticed.
All right. And by the way, if I get one email, don't send me an email saying, well, that was pretty offensive language, and how could you as a Christian show that? You know what? If that language is if that's your problem, get off my lawn. All right, John.
So, isn't black-on-black crime the top
100%, yes.
So why not protest that?
This is not fashionable. John, they've declared war on us.
Clearly.
So, okay, so now it's a war. It's an insurrection. Shouldn't we act accordingly now? The reason I played that is because let's not pussyfoot around this issue. Let's deal with this head on and let's get it done. You know what? Enough of this. 50 days? That's ridiculous. 50 plus days in Portland going on. I mean, it's ridiculous. Michelle Malkin getting mauled at a Blue Lives, supporting Blue Lives event. It's ridiculous. This is ridiculous. When are we going to step up and say, okay, you want it, you bring it, we're going to give it back to you. That's why I'm angry. What do we do? If we don't do that, what do we do?
We need to work at the local level. There's more than 3,000 counties in this country. About 3,300, give or take a little. Most of those counties have an elected sheriff, the majority of them. The elected sheriffs typically maintain all the statutory authority they've had for more than a century. And the majority of these counties are away from the city, where the smaller populations. Your sheriff needs to know that you support him. If your sheriff is up for re-election, if that sheriff supports the Constitution, be sure and support that sheriff for re-election. If the sheriff does not, you need to have a candidate who does support the Constitution. The counties, in turn, are split up into townships. And within those townships, of course, are the cities and towns and unincorporated areas. All of those areas have leaders. There'd be chiefs of police. There'll be pastors of churches, business leaders, and people that have employees and so forth, respected members of the community. These people know each other, and they work together on a routine basis. If anything is about to happen in the community, the sheriff needs to organize his citizens to and deputize the ones that he needs to deputize to protect the community. In most states, the state militia consists of men and women between the ages of 18 and 60 years old. That's the state militia. The federal militia is 18 to 45, I believe. It may be 40, but I believe it's 18 to 45. Men only for the federal militia. Men and women both for the state militias. Many of these sheriffs know that they're the head of the county militia. And they need to be prepared. And we had a sheriff down in Shannon County, about two counties south of me 3 weeks ago, that did that. He activated the county militia to protect the courthouse against protesters, rioters. And he had his entire sheriff's department is himself and three deputies. So okay. He had more than 400 militia members, which would be the citizens of the county. That's all the militia is, the cities of the county, to show up and protect the county seat. And we're going to be seeing more of that, Doug.
All right. And I think that you're right on the money with what we need to do if we have that time. And many of us around the country do have that time. So we better get to work right now. Or somebody is going to get hurt. This is why we can't have nice things. But consider this.
Well, let me tell you what a friend of mine did during the Ferguson riots. A very dear friend.
All right.
He's a former Marine and he has a hobby. His hobby is collecting Mauser bolt action rifles, typically about 120 years old. So he has a collection of about a dozen or 15 or 16 of these rifles. He worked with the men on his street to make sure each man was armed with a Mauser bolt action rifle if they weren't armed already. And they had rudimentary education and class on how to use it properly and safely to protect their street from the rioters during the Ferguson riots. That's just one man and one street in America doing the right thing to make sure that lives and property were protected. And I'm sure that there's many tens of thousands of men that will do the same thing for their street, for their neighborhood, to make sure that their street and their neighborhood is safe. We have Black Lives Matter publicly stating that they're going to conduct attacks into white suburbs and destroy property and kill people. Well, that will be met by armed resistance is what's going to happen. If they try it, which they might, it will be met with armed resistance. You can count on it, Doug.
Well, I agree that, yeah. Now, can you imagine that couple that in your backyard or front yard up there in Missouri? Can you imagine? Yep. Of course, they're getting charged by the DA or the equivalent of a DA.
Prosecuting attorney. Right.
Prosecuting attorney, right. With,
McCluskeys. Well, the McCluskeys, by the way, my parents almost bought that home in 1959. They were going to turn it into a 10-family apartment building. It's 5,000 square feet. The McCluskeys have the support of the governor of the state of Missouri, the U.S. Senator from Missouri, and the President of the United States. They're going to be okay. They're going to be fine. They also have private security to protect their property.
But if their name wasn't McCluskey and if they weren't living at that home and they were somewhere else, if they, you know, if they live in like a normal house like I do or you do, you think we'd be okay?
Well, it's not. The incident got national attention. The fact it's a beautiful home, bigger than most people's homes, certainly added to the story. But the social media gave it national attention with the videos that were published. And I think that, at least in Missouri, that the governor, the senator, and the president hopefully would also support anybody anywhere. Under similar circumstances, defending their home and their lives against criminals.
I would hope. I would like to think that'd be the case. You know, I really would. But, you know, in Portland, you got this, the county sheriff. You were talking about sheriffs before. I don't know whether you saw this. Mike Reese is the sheriff of the county, Multnomah? Whatever, however you pronounce it. And he tweeted out this, and think about this, John. This was on Thursday, I think last Thursday or Friday. Regarding Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf's visit. Remember, Chad Wolf visited Portland. Take a look at the federal building, the damages, what's going on there, how to handle all this this riot, this activity again. DHS is in charge of that specific element of protection. He said this. This is the sheriff now. Tweeted this out. As part of a statewide law enforcement delegation to discuss recent responses to demonstration in Portland, I was invited to meet with DHS Security Secretary Chad Wolf. That's tweet number one. Number two, I was under the impression, and you know, I'm not going to comment. I was under the impression that this was going to be a thoughtful, honest, and open discussion, but following statements made by Secretary Wolf, it became clear law enforcement in the city of Portland was becoming highly politicized, and for that reason, I declined to meet. And the third one, protests are among the most difficult events to manage in policing today. Yeah, especially when you're on your knees. It's really not a good position. Okay. We have a responsibility to safeguard the right of people and assemble and engage in free speech. Yeah, you do. You don't have the right to take batons and smack people. All right. While balancing other rights guaranteed in our Constitution, including maintaining public order. Yeah, you're doing a real fine job there, Mikey. All right, number four and final. By preventing rioting, arson, and other illegal activity. Again, great friggin' job. As public safety professionals, we have to be measured and proportional in our response. We have to communicate our intentions to be fair and consistent regardless of events, message or people's actions. As sheriff, I value the positive relationship we have with our local law enforcement partners to include the Federal Protection Service, U.S. Marshals, and FBI. However, and here's the money quote.
Okay.
However, the actions by out-of-state federal agents last weekend failed to display good decision-making and sound tactical judgment. What are you, some touchy-feely moron? They failed to display good decision-making. Sounds like a kindergarten teacher. Let's talk about our decision-making. Use your words. Shut up. What the hell? Seriously. So you got a sheriff out there going, hey, you know, on his knees, saying, well, I'm not going to meet with the feds because, you know, they failed to show good decision-making process, decisions.
Well, Doug, this sheriff is a reflection of the overall culture out there that elected this mayor, that elected this governor, and it's in keeping with the will of the people to elect somebody like the sheriff in light of the mayor they've elected, in light of the governor they've elected. I would expect nothing very much different from metropolitan Portland area, that county. Now, once you get away from Portland, probably people think the way normal people think, but there maybe there's something in the water there. I don't know. Maybe too many people from California moved up there. But this sheriff certainly a direct reflection of everything else that's going on in Portland that's wrong. Now, this is the second time we've been through this. So the first time it was the, I believe, the immigration office in Portland that was being attacked and barricaded or about a year ago or so, year and a half ago.
Your memory's better than mine.
Yeah, that was pretty mild compared to this. They had tents set up on a nearby street, and they were protesting and not allowing the immigration people to come and go from their premises. Compared to what's going on now, that was pretty mild-mannered. What's going on now around the federal building in Portland has been completely out of control, complete anarchy, and it can't be tolerated. It simply can't. As I said a moment ago, it emboldens the criminals. When you allow this to go on, they feel like they're being given free rein to do even more destruction and property damage. And the president's doing the right thing by sending in these federal law enforcement. I noticed that the sheriff refers to them as out of state, as if that's some way to demonize these men because they went from, they came from another state, say Washington State or California. We're all Americans, and these federal agents are all Americans, and they're doing what they need to be doing to protect property and protect lives. And I say go for it. It's not over yet, though, is it, Doug?
No. No, it's not. And, no, it's not. It's not over. I'm just worried, John. I'm concerned because, I don't feel like I've got a lot of time left. I don't know how much time I got left. I just feel like if this would have happened 30 years ago, I'd be more vibrant. And, you know, now I'm looking and I'm thinking, all right, my children, my grandchildren, what do we do about them? You know, I can't leave this mess to them. So I want to clean this up. I want to clean this up for them. Yeah, we can vote this process through. I believe that's the right way to go, as you say. You know, vote the sheriffs out. Or if you want it, hey, this is what you want, live with it. See, voting has consequences.
Right.
But I'm afraid right now, and fearful, not afraid, but concerned that the election this for 2020 is going to, the fraud is going to be so pervasive. The underhandedness of the left is going to be so bad. The infiltration has been so long and deep that we're going to see some irregularities like we've never seen before because they know they don't have a chance. I don't know.
In a free and fair election, they don't have a chance at all. Vote fraud can only take up so much percentage of the vote before it becomes obvious,
yeah.
Such as what happened in Florida with these COVID-19 tests. They've made it obvious to everybody that there's fraud involved. Of course there's going to be vote fraud. That's a given, which is why we need an overwhelming amount of conservatives to vote for the president so that there can be no doubt about the president being reelected. The president being reelected will not stop the anarchy.
No,
it'll give
not.
Us the high ground. It'll give us the high ground legally and morally, but it won't stop the anarchy.
No, you're correct in what you say. There's the only way that I believe the only way this is going to stop is when one side is neutralized. I mean, that's what I believe. Now, look, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong because, I'd rather.
Well, beginning about a week and a half ago, the administration started arresting high-level leaders in Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
And That's helping neutralize the leadership, which isn't going to stop them, but it'll slow them down. Any organization of this nature has a chain of command. So you got other people to step in the shoes of the people who've been arrested, but it will slow them down, and it needs to continue. And I'm sure it will continue arresting the leadership of men and women crossing state lines to impede federal officers in the lawful performance of their duties. That's what the charging papers are going to say. They cross state lines to impede federal law enforcement officials from carrying out their lawful duties and other crimes related to crossing state lines. That's what gives the federal government the ammunition they need to have jurisdiction. There has to be violations of federal law, Doug, and there's multiple violations of federal law here.
Exactly. Now, I know you wanted to switch topics before, and I didn't let you. I went back because I had a vent and had to show you Michelle Malkin and all this and talk about Mikey Reese, the dweeb Muppet sheriff up there in Portland. So for that, please ask for your forgiveness. And for the people out there who watched what I showed you, what we ran, if your big objection is the language, I left the language in, couldn't beep it out because you wouldn't be able to understand what they were talking about. But that's, there it is. Mama, I'm sure Mama's proud. Mama was standing back there proud as ever. And of course, it's all right because you got clergy over her right. So, you know, hey, relax. It's okay with the clergy. I'm not sure, you know, what is he? Never mind.
Well, I could guess, but I'm not going to speculate. That's all would be speculation. He appeared to be clergy of some sort, assuming that was a real get up and not something he borrowed.
Yeah.
But,
I'm going to show you, before, I mean, at some point, I want to show you, you were talking about coronavirus in Florida. I got something for you to see. I don't know whether you saw this, but munging the numbers, you know, problem with the numbers.
Right.
So, can I show you now?
Please.
Okay. Folks, we played this on Friday. This is a video clip. And just watch.
Good evening. I'm Luann Sorrell. We start with big breaking news tonight. Fox 35 questioning the coronavirus numbers and uncovering a shocking revelation. A man dies in a motorcycle crash, but his death listed as a coronavirus death.
Fox 35 News investigating. We dug through the data, and then we asked the questions. Fox 35's Danielle Lama joins us live from Orange County tonight. Danielle, how are officials explaining this?
Well, Charles, they really haven't given us much of an explanation at this point. The way we found out is I was asking the county health officer about two coronavirus deaths involving people in their 20s and whether they had any underlying conditions. Then one of his answers surprised us.
The first one didn't have any. He died in a motorcycle accident.
New questions tonight about the accuracy of the state's coronavirus death numbers. Orange County Health Officer Dr. Raul Pino telling us one person reported to have died from COVID was killed in a motorcycle accident. So was it removed from the data?
I don't think so. I have to double check. We were arguing. We were discussing and trying to argue with the state. Not because of the numbers. I mean, it's 100. It's not make any difference if it's 99.
Yeah.
But the validity that the fact that the individual didn't die from COVID-19, died in a crash. But you can actually argue that it could have been the COVID-19 that caused him to crash. So I don't know the conclusion of that one.
We looked into it, and there are still two people in their 20s on Orange County's data list for COVID deaths. So is this a contradiction to how the state says it's counting deaths? The Florida Department of Health sending Fox 35 a statement saying a COVID death is determined if COVID-19 is listed as the immediate or underlying cause of death or listed as one of the significant conditions contributing to death, or if there's a confirmed COVID-19 infection from a lab test and the cause of death doesn't meet exclusion criteria like trauma, suicide, homicide, overdose, motor vehicle accident, etc.
The only thing that I could say to people is that the data that I'm providing you with is the data that we consume from the state, and we are offering you the best data that we have.
And Dr. Pino tells us that the medical examiner's office has to sign off on all COVID-19 deaths. We also reached out to that office and have not heard back. Reporting live in Orlando, Danielle Lama, Fox 35 News.
two things. I'm gonna make two comments and then I'm going to push it to you. Number one. Well, three comments. Number one, ridiculous that that reporter is wearing a mask in the middle of the night or early in the morning. There's no one
by
around.
Herself, right?
Yeah, by herself. So she sounds like, and the second comment I have, this is maybe not proper, but that guy, that doctor that was talking, reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where Kramer says, Jerry, there's a pig man on the third floor. There's a pig man. I saw a pig man. I don't know what it is about that mask. It just looks like a, anyway. And the third thing is, well, you know, we don't know if COVID caused them to crash. So we've lost our flipping minds. We have. That's all I'm going to say. Your response.
Doug, a few hours ago on my radio show, regular listener, we talk a lot. We even talk privately. A friend of his got up in Montana. A friend of his, a female friend in Montana, got a letter from the state of Montana saying that her COVID-19 test had turned out positive. Slight problem. The woman had not taken a COVID test. So she calls up the telephone number on air and tells the lady, well, I haven't had a COVID test. How can it be positive? The silence. And then the woman says, well, we'll get back with you in 2 weeks to see how you are. Doug, you can't make this stuff up. The state of Washington admitted publicly, this was news, there's so much news, about a month ago, that every fatal gunshot wound in Washington state is listed as a COVID death. And the state government even admitted that publicly, the state of Washington. There's so much fraud and deception going on here, it's hard to keep track of it, Doug. And there's been, my Monday guest, very dear friend, I've known Sam Andrews since 1994 when I met him.
You can bring him on sometime if he wants to. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, he's really covered up. He's got really, really busy. But anyway, he has a number of friends who are medical doctors around the country, all over the country. And several of these doctors have mailed in sterile test kits where a human being has not touched them. Sterile COVID-19 test kits. And they come back positive. And I said, Sam, you think one of these doctors might come on my show with me? We're reaching a level of absurdity, and I have friends that really believe this, Doc. They're just scared to death to go out in public without a mask on. I don't wear a mask. In fact, we believe later this week we'll be offering face masks made from mosquito netting. And I got a lot of response from your listeners. They're in production. They'll be on my website. Don't call me or send me an email. When they're ready, they'll be on my website, prominently displayed for sale. Because sometimes you just have to go in a place like a post office. You have no choice. You want to conduct business in a post office. Frequently, you got to wear a mask. Well, this will allow you to be in compliance without being in compliance. You can still breathe. In places like Phoenix, where it's 115 degrees in the shade, it could really be a matter of health to be able to breathe properly when it's 115 degrees in the shade. Don't you think, Doug?
Well, yeah, but I'm just wondering who's going to, you got somebody to bail you out? By the way, here's what I think. Again, this was played on Friday. Here's what we think about people who, say, okay, we got to wear masks. Wear masks. Bunch of friggin' lemmings. That's what you are.
Can lemmings swim?
I don't think so. I don't know. Eric, we're going to have to try that. We're going to have to
try. Buy a lemming from the pet store and throw it in the water, see if it can swim.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to get emails now. Okay.
We're horrible people, I know. But that's an interesting video, of the lemmings jumping into the water.
Well, you know, I mean, it's, but see, you're right. It's fear, people being motivated by fear. But there's also that factor. Well, you know, it's only a mask. It's only, really, I know it doesn't help, but it's really what doesn't hurt. It's why cause, This is my favorite. Why cause this?
Actually, it does hurt. It makes things worse. Health-wise, it does make things worse.
Two kids in China dropped dead. They were running on a, I don't know what the hell they were doing, running on a, what did they call it? A track thing, you know, where you run. And they were wearing masks. They dropped dead. I don't know if it's from the masks. I mean, I don't know, but gee.
Yeah, well,
you're right.
Restricting the airflow is not a good thing. And these masks cause more problems than they solve.
So yeah, bring out the mosquito netting masks.
That's science. Right. Say again?
So bring out, let's do the mosquito netting mask. I'm kind of kicking back right now. At this point, I'm let's get the mosquito
netting masks. They're being made. They'll be available later in the week. We'll have black ones and white ones, your choice. Later on might be some camouflage.
Are you
available
sure?
For sale at my website.
The white. Second. Are you okay with the white? I mean, look, I don't know. You're a racist. You're a damn racist.
Well, I just found out the other day that the board game chess is racist.
Of course.
Because the white pieces always go first, and of course, classical music is racist also. And I'm not sure why country music isn't racist. I guess it'll be racist pretty soon. They haven't figured it out yet. But so we're not worried about that. We'll be politically incorrect and we're not the only ones doing this. There's other people manufacturing these masks that will allow you to breathe properly but still be in compliance. And that's the American way. It's kind of a protest in and of itself to wear a mask is not a mask. It needs to be done. And I've heard that phrase also, it's just a mask. Well, what it is. It's compliance with an illegal, unconstitutional order. That is not a law. It's compliance with something that will make it worse health-wise rather than help. And people need to do their homework and figure this out for themselves. I got several articles and videos at my website under the COVID-19 updates giving the details of why you're causing more harm than helping yourself when you wear a mask.
Actually, I'm on your website. And, folks, go to thelibertyman.com. And I mean this sincerely. I'm not being sarcastic. Go there, thelibertyman.com. You look up at the different, I mean, first of all, the Daily Intelligence Briefing, fantastic. The Communist Agenda Exposed, of course, it's fabulous. The U.S. protest, riot, and insurrection. You know, look, follow these topics, headlines, COVID-19 updates. Thank you for that. And of course, covering, Michael Flynn. But that's thelibertyman.com and of course, the John Moore Show on RBN is right there first on the top. So thank you, John, for all of that. And please, folks, bookmark thelibertyman.com. And by the way, send John an email saying, yeah, I heard John Hagman. So it's cool. All right, brother. I just want to make sure we got that. I don't want to say plug, but
well,
people
know
where
to go. We're going to have a new video posted. It hasn't been posted yet. There was a gentleman somewhere in New Jersey was stealing a ATM, one of these kinds that you see typically at a convenience store. And he's got it out in the sidewalk, and this thing probably weighs 400 or 500 pounds, so he's walking it on the corners like you would any heavy object, trying to get it into a public bus to transport the... Did you see this video?
I saw it.
Isn't that one of the funniest things? It looks like something that would be on Saturday Night Live, but it's a real deal. And it ends with the bus driver not opening the door for the thief, and the thief pounding on the bus, demanding to be let into the bus with the ATM that he's just stolen. I hope to have it on my website soon, but
John, off the charts. If I was a bus driver, I would open the door just to watch, just for the entertainment value of watching this guy try to bring that ATM through the doors. I might have spent, I don't know, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, and then as he's getting it up, just.
Well, I don't think he got on the bus, but let him on the bus and be calling 911, while you're transporting him to the, waiting arms of the police.
Is there no end to stupidity? I mean, Eric the Tech, did you see that video?
I Possibly.
It's a good video. I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't forget. You would not forget this.
Is that the guy that gets hit by the...
No, ATM, if you search ATM, stolen ATM bust or something like that, you'll find it on YouTube. It's okay. Like 20.
And something really, we need some humor. Under my section called videos for your consideration.
Yes.
It's a police dash cam of a traffic stop. And Doug is, once again, Hollywood could not have done this better.
I
don't
want
to ruin it for people, but, it's maybe 3 or 4 minutes long, and it takes place in Reno, Nevada, and it's just a hoot. A female deputy, she's wearing a deputy's outfit, not a police outfit.
Right.
She pulls over this guy, a suspect DWI, and it's just an absolute hoot. And if you want to have a good laugh on something that's reality as opposed to some make-believe thing, it's just an absolute hoot.
Yeah, I'm aware of what you're – I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. Go to the LibertyMail.com.
No, people, we don't need to steal the thunder. Let people watch it, and it's Hollywood could not have done it better. I mean, it's really funny.
Oh man, yeah, we do need humor. We do, and it feels good to smile.
One of the things I learned in combat, Doug, is a guy who in combat, who has no sense of humor, he's going to get himself hurt and everybody around him. If he takes himself too seriously, he'll get himself. And the guy who makes fun of what's going on, makes fun of the enemy, yells obscenities back at the enemy, that's the guy who's going to live.
Exactly.
And that's, we need humor in our life. Regardless of how bad things are, we need humor to keep a level head, to keep things in perspective.
Yeah,
and one of the things I know about liberals and communists, they have no sense of humor. They have no sense of humor. They don't. It's just gone. It's not part of their persona anymore.
I want to be careful here when I say this. I think that there's a level of being a psychopath or a sociopath when you are in that state or in that mindset that or have that ideology. And I don't think so.
It's a form of psychosis. I reached that conclusion 40 years ago.
That
people who believe in a communist philosophy, it is a form of psychosis. I'm no psychological professional. Don't claim to be. That's my opinion based on my observations. That's a form of psychosis. People who believe in Marxism, communism, socialism, it is a form of psychosis.
Exactly. All right, my man, we've got the rest of the week. We got about one segment left, 30 minutes left, roughly. Wherever you want to take us. I mean, again, I feel like I kind of guided everything and I don't mean.
Well, let's talk
that.
About what people should do. You and
please.
I are the watchmen on the wall, Doug.
So much for that. Speaking of humor, go ahead.
Yeah, well, we are the watchmen on the wall. And I have pieces of real estate listed on my website for sale. I've had more inquiries the past 3 or 4 months than I have the past year and a half. People desperately want away from these metropolitan areas. They intuitively know what's coming. The more desirable firearms and the more popular ammunition calibers are sold out nationwide. The distributors don't have inventory. The retailers don't have inventory. And that's not likely to change anytime soon. People are scrambling to get whatever they can get. If they weren't armed before, we got people who've never owned, I don't know what the percentage is, but a massive percentage of new firearm sales the past 3 months have been to people who've never owned a firearm before in their life. People are scared. And once again, going back to the earlier part of our conversation, people are making decisions based on fear. That's not a good place to be. If you're deciding to defend your life and your family with a firearm, by all means get one, but also get proper training. Your uncle or your father who was in the military, they may offer to train you. They may or may not know what they're doing. But good training by qualified instructors so you know how to properly use that firearm. And one of the things you learn in a concealed carry class, which I'm a concealed carry instructor, is very important. People, when they go to these classes, Doug, they think they're going to learn how to shoot a pistol, which is a tiny part of what we do. as an instructor. The main part of what we do, what we spend most time on, is the proper use of deadly force. That's not optional. You know, most mature adults can learn how to operate a pistol without shooting themselves in the foot or shoot somebody by mistake. That's typical of most adults most of the time. But the proper use of deadly force is not something you're born knowing. It has to be taught. And if you don't have a concealed carrying permit and haven't gone through that class, that's one of the big benefits you'll get from doing that, is you'll find out when you may and when you may not use deadly force. And it's critical. It's not optional, Doug, and many of our fellow citizens will be faced with that dilemma in the not-too-distant future, where they are faced with a life-and-death situation, and they may hesitate when they shouldn't hesitate because they don't know the law, and they're fearful of doing something wrong because they don't know the law. And I would encourage all our listeners to, if they haven't had a concealed carry class, to go ahead and take it so they also can learn the proper use of deadly force. Taking a human life is about as serious a thing as anything can be, Doug. Not to be taken lightly.
No, that's right.
And I just have to keep emphasizing how important it is to get that training, so you won't hesitate improperly. Hesitation is okay if you're doing it when you should be doing it, because you have to have make sure you got a good sight picture, make sure you got the proper target in your sights and so forth. But hesitating because you don't know the law and you're fearful of getting in trouble, that could get you killed.
Yeah.
And get people you're responsible for carrying killed also.
Yep.
So that needs to be emphasized very strongly, that ownership of a gun does not translate into proficiency with a gun. You know, Doug, I could go into an art supply store, and $500 later, I got everything I need to be Rembrandt or Picasso. But oh, yeah. That doesn't make me Rembrandt or Picasso. Ownership of art supplies doesn't turn me into an artist. Ownership of a musical instrument does not turn me into a musician. And ownership of firearms doesn't make me proficient with a firearm.
Good analogy. Good analogy, and that's right. And it's so, folks, listen to what John's saying. It's so important because, look, if you don't care about yourself, you know, you're protecting your family, okay? And by the way, John, you know, your class, this is the way I hold my gun now. I'm kidding, of course, but, you know, it's not like this, you know.
Gun Digest had an article on that a few years ago, and did not work out too well for the person testing that style of shooting.
I mean, not at all. Is that supposed to be cool or something? I don't know.
Well, I haven't been a while since I read the article. There's probably been some attempt to backtrack on when that began. Probably Hollywood, most likely.
Yeah.
But it's very ineffective. And when these youngsters, these gangbangers, show up at the pistol range, I know a lot of these range officers. They have somebody old enough to rent the firearms and rent the range time, and the range officers aren't about to tell them how to shoot properly. They just let them continue shooting sideways and not hitting anything, making a lot of noise. Mm. And then they leave. That's basically it.
Now, you're right, though, folks. Listen to what John's saying, because I know people actually who have AR-15s and AKs and some pretty fancy guns that never been shot. Never been shot.
That's very true. Very true. The same way, Doug. I know men who have some very high quality firearms, and they could probably safely load it and unload it, but when it comes to any tactical proficiency, it's non-existent. It just simply isn't there. It's not who they are. They own these firearms. They have ammunition for them. They can operate the controls more or less, but they, when it comes to any tactical proficiency, it's simply non-existent. And that's repeated all over the country thousands and thousands of times by men and women both. Men are no better about that than women are, quite frankly. Women frequently know their deficiencies and are more likely to seek out help, where men frequently don't. They think that their minimal skill sets are enough to get them by, which they might or they might not.
I don't want to wait until the party starts to find out, that's for sure. Do you have anything going on gun-wise in your from your do you? You're...
I'm not sure what the question is.
Neither am I. No, are you... Are you teaching any classes?
Missouri went to constitutional carry about 4 years ago, and people stopped signing up for classes. Right. I'm still an instructor for concealed carry training at Freedom Center USA in Lebanon, Missouri. But for the time being, people aren't signing up for these classes.
If we can get like 5 or 6 people, you know, throwing in $100 a pop or a couple $100 a pop, would you train them or no? I mean, are you kind of?
Yeah, I had a woman recently make that inquiry. I told her what I would need to in terms of the number of students to make it happen, and she hasn't got back with me.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to push business your way because I know that you're capable. And
well, thank you, but I got plenty of business otherwise. The radio show, I'm looking at. Well, I don't want to. It's premature to go public, but I might be doing something different with my radio show that would be an enhancement. So let's just leave it at that right now.
Congratulations in advance. Whatever you're going to do, I know it'll be great. And folks, that's why you need to listen to John Moore. Go to John Moore, thelibertyman.com, and click on that link right there. You see, listen to the John Moore live on RBN. And I suspect, by the way, the more people who are listening, the quicker you can expand or whatever. I think that'll help. But
well, it makes it, you know, it's anytime in the mainstream or alternative media, it's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live or die by advertising, and you need the numbers to get the advertising. It's one thing. It's a chicken and egg thing. Which comes first? More listeners or the advertising? But you need both. And so that's just the nature of our businesses. We need the numbers to get the advertising and be able to survive.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited. Perhaps you'll tell our audience next week or the week after or soon, whenever you're ready, about what's going to take place. I'm excited.
All right, it takes some pre-planning and so forth, but we're in the initial stages of that.
Okay. All right, that's good. And believe me, anything you do is going to turn out to be aces in my view. As we've seen, and I'm not trying to, you know, that's not false flattery. I know how you work and I know how exacting you are. And, it's all good. So I appreciate that. And yes, but going back to the original thing, please, bone up on your gun handling skills and proficiency in handling weapons and shooting weapons and defending yourself with them. And, you need to do that. Next.
Well, we'll do a couple of cautions here. First of all, men love technology. My classes are concealed carry or mixed classes, and I'll say to the ladies, if your husband has a birthday coming up, you know, anything from the hardware store that takes a battery, they're going to like it. It doesn't matter what it is. Men like gadgets. And when it comes to firearms, men like technology in terms of red dot sights, laser sights, and so forth. And I go on to tell them that sights on pistols are for training. That's what they're there for. They're for training. A lot of men think, oh, I got a laser sight, I can't miss now. Well, you can miss. I don't care what kind of sight you got. You can miss. And the purpose of sights on a pistol is for training. If you're confronted with a criminal who wants to hurt you, you've got your choice of looking at two things. You can look at the criminal and watch that criminal, or you can watch the sights on that pistol. You can't do both. That can't be done. For as far as a criminal, you're watching their eyes and watching their hands. Their eyes will tell you what they intend to do. Their hands will tell you what they can do.
Yep.
And you need to get so good with that pistol that you no longer need to look at that sight, the sights on that pistol. If somebody wants to hurt you, they're going to be, about 10 to 20 feet away. They're not going to be across the street. They're going to be 10 to 20 feet away.
About 2 seconds away.
Actually. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And practice, practice, practice. If you want a laser sight or a red dot sight, by all means, go for it. But don't become dependent on it. Don't become dependent on anything that takes a battery. Don't depend your life on something that takes a battery. Don't do that. It's not wise. And if you think that's all you need, I got a red dot sight, I don't need to train, you're wrong. You need to practice clearing jams. You need to practice clearing, changing magazines. You need to practice shooting ambidextrous. You if you're strong-handed, right-handed, you need to practice shooting left-handed. If you're left-handed, you need to practice shooting right-handed. You need shooting around barricades, under barriers, all these different things that need to be practiced so that you don't find yourself in the heat of battle fumbling around, changing a magazine, and dropping it on the ground. How humiliating to drop your loaded magazine on the ground in front of the criminal, which could get you killed, of course. So the criminal will chuckle to himself while he kills you.
Yeah. And by the way, do you favor carrying an extra magazine with you when you travel or when you carry, I should say?
I typically carry two extra mags. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't, I took a class back in, I don't know, 90 something. I don't know. And the instructor said, if you have a laser, if you have anything other than iron sights, get rid of it because you're not going to be in our class. And,
right.
Yeah, I never had one since. So.
Right. Mm. Well, I was, you know, typically my students don't show up with laser sights. Occasionally red dot sights on pistols. Typically they just have iron sights, but I don't encourage the use of them. If they want them, I say go ahead and get it, but make sure you get the basic skills first. When I started teaching my grandson to shoot, I made sure he began with iron sights and a bolt action rifle. I did not want a semi-automatic. I did not want any optics other than the regular iron sights. So he had a good foundation to work from. He's young man is now 23 years old, and he has excellent marksmanship skills and is very safe with firearms, and I'm really proud of him. But that's the way to begin anybody, I believe, is with iron sights only.
Yeah.
Learn the basics. Learn the basics.
I like Smith & Wesson a lot. That's my favorite. And I like 45s. And I like 9mm. They each have their role.
Right.
But, I like my 44, okay, revolver. And I got to tell you something. Let me ask you, are you a revolver guy? I mean, do you carry revolver?
I like both. I carry both. I use both depending on the assignment and how I'm dressed and what the perceived threat is. And I like Smith & Wesson also. So I like both and I use both depending on the situation.
Okay. Yeah. My wife handles a revolver a lot easier. And then an automatic.
Most women do, Doug.
Yeah. Well, she's got.
Most women do.
Yeah. Right. She has a hard time racking the slide and.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Just thought I'd ask. Yeah. You know, John, I apologize to you. I started off this program angry, and I still kind of am angry. I don't think that anger is going to subside. But you're right. I mean, we have to prepare ourselves for what's coming. And by the way, this, I want to acknowledge, this is a spiritual battle. We know it's a spiritual battle and we know prayer works. But, I'd be a fool not to acknowledge that. But anyway, please continue with whatever you'd like.
Well, Doug, I'm going to recommend that you and your wife watch a comedy tonight. Seriously, you need some humor. But other than that, it is ultimately a spiritual battle. And that needs to be in the front of our brains at all times. It's a spiritual battle. And we are in the right. We know that. We're in the right. We're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of the Bible. We're on the right side of our culture and our everything that has made America great. Yep. We're on the right side of it. And they're on the wrong side. It doesn't mean, that's no guarantee we're going to win, though. There's no guarantee at all. Good guys have lost many battles over many centuries. So there's no guarantee. We need to take nothing for granted, get our spiritual house in order, get the skills we need to survive, make sure that our local communities are prepared the best we can, and your town, your township, whatever it might be, your county, needs to be prepared to deal with these things. I know it's late to get started, but the community leaders need to be getting the community organized right now for what's coming at us, if they can, just do it. I mean, it may sound simple, but once men and women get motivated to take action, a lot of things can happen very quickly. It's not creating all this much new. It's making use of existing people and existing resources, not having to buy a bunch of stuff or do a bunch of unusual things. All communities have sheriff's departments, police departments, fire departments, paramedics, men and women who are trained and have equipment ready to respond right now. They just need the proper leadership, so when the time comes, that leadership will pull everybody together to protect the community, Doug.
Amen. We have to work together. I think what you said there is extremely important. Pull together and work together. I think we're going to have to do that sooner rather than later. And, you know, folks, I didn't mean to give the impression that I we should toss law and order to the wind. No, not at all. We must, we must restore law and order. But, yeah. So, oh, by the way, I mentioned about the judge in the Epstein case, her husband being wounded and son killed by a guy dressed up as a FedEx driver. The thing I didn't mention is the fact that the guy that dressed up, the assailant, the murderer, was found dead. And look, I know that he was an attorney. I know that he had a case before this judge back in 2015. I know all of that. Still, it's pretty high level stuff, I believe. And I'll just say this, which I think is rather interesting or rather appropriate. I don't know whether you saw there was a movie. Hang on, let me see if I can find it here. John, there was a movie. Speaking, you were talking about movies.
Hollywood film.
Yeah. Hang on just one second here. Maybe I can find it this way. Again, it's convenient that the guy was found dead. It could very well be,
The shooter was found dead.
The shooter was found dead. And the motive that they're suspecting, even though it's Epstein related, is the fact that the shooter was an attorney, had a case before the judge in 2015, or was a party to the case in the judge in 2015, and there was something about that. But anyway, the film I was referencing, it was called Shooter. Now, I don't know whether you saw that, but
I've watched it. It's one of my favorite films, quite frankly.
Okay,
I know, Matt Damon,
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, yeah. No, excuse me.
Okay, there was a part where musician Levon Helm made a brief cameo, and
who made a brief cameo?
Levon Helm, musician Levon Helm. He explains what happens to assassins, and this I think is rather appropriate. Specifically, he says that the fellow on the grassy knoll was dead and buried in the desert 3 hours later. Now,
right.
Again, this is in the movie, and the FBI agent says, "You know that for a fact?" And Helm said, I still have the shovel. Anyway. Right.
That was the old gunsmith, right?
Yeah. Was it?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but
I haven't watched it for a second. It was a well done movie.
It's been a while.
And it wasn't predictable. very clever plot, very, very well done script. And, usually I can predict, what direction the film's going to go, but it went in directions that I could not predict in advance. And, very, very, very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So I just wanted to make sure people knew that the shooter was dead, in case but nonetheless, I don't know, anymore. I can't believe I just don't believe much of anything anymore I don't know, John. Again, I don't believe in coincidences, that's for sure. But anyway. All right, brother. Closing few minutes here. Yeah, I take you in. Pass. You probably don't even want to go.
No, that's we're fine. We're doing good here, Jug. Well, week to week, the world becomes more insane. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people that we should be able to trust and rely on reporting truth. Health departments, for example, it never occurred to me that health departments would outright lie to the people, but they have been now for months, and it's unacceptable. You know, what they've done for those of us who are paying attention is they've completely discredited themselves to the point where I don't believe anything they say. I really don't.
No.
And anybody who's paying attention, I think, largely feels the same way. We can't believe anything they say. We can't trust them. We can't trust them to do the right thing. These same people are going to be advocating vaccines here, probably around Labor Day.
Yep.
I need to talk to my webmaster about finding that White House press briefing clip, because it's been preserved someplace.
I'm sure
seems to be the nature of the modern age here. But that's very telling when that Fox News employee comes out of the backstage, for want of a better term, saying that we already got the vaccine. I started telling people in March that vaccine's been in refrigerators for a year. And I think I'm probably going to be, you know, if history reveals the truth, I think I'll be proven to be right. But that vaccine will be ready in about 5 or 6 weeks around Labor Day, not that far off. And people will be demanding it. They'll be paying bribes to get in line first, writing letters to the senator about why they're so important. They need it first. It won't be a matter of forced vaccination. People will be demanding the vaccination, Doug. And that's what they want. They want so much fear built up that people are demanding the vaccine. And that's what's going to kill people. I have friends, you may or may not, but I have friends that are still suffering from the swine flu vaccine from 1974. And many people died from the swine flu vaccine in 1974. I wouldn't trust it at all, any vaccine, for any reason.
No, even I remember tetanus. That.
Even tetanus. I want to get a tetanus shot. So people need to do their own homework, come to their own conclusions, and be ready to protect themselves, protect their family, protect their community as a community. The communities need to come together to protect themselves against what's coming at us. And we need truth. We need reliable information, not the fabricated stuff coming out of these health departments, the CDC, and so forth. It's complete lies and complete fabrication. And there needs to be some investigations and indictments issued, quite frankly. There really does, because people are dying because of this fabricated information, the lies being told. It's causing misery and death that's not necessary, Doug. It really is. And it's destroying our economy.
Yeah, it has destroyed our economy, and it's changing everything. It's changing everything.
The United States economy in January was the best it's ever been in our history.
Yep.
Now here we are in what might be described as a severe recession or a depression, one or the other, not that it matters. We're in really bad shape economically. All because of fraud, all because of manipulated data being perpetrated, and the fear of as a consequence.
Hmm. Well, my brother, you've done it. You've taken us all the way to the end of the program. I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your professionalism, and I appreciate you walking me back from the ledge.
But anytime, and I did it without handcuffs.
Yeah, there you go. And you didn't have to use your taser on me, so I appreciate it. All right, my friend.
Welcome.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Have a good day.
It was good. Thank you, Doug. See you next Monday.
All right. The Liberty Man. That's John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's the website, thelibertyman.com. Folks, I want to thank you so very much for your belief and your trust in this platform. Maybe tomorrow. I'm going to see if I can, tomorrow night, I'm going to see if I can get Randy Taylor to come on, discuss a few things that we've seen over the weekend. Of course, you know, seeing the things that we're doing behind the scenes and seeing what I have to believe the investigators, the federal investigators, are seeing in terms of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the anarchists, the communists in general, and working along with, and yes, I will say, mayors and even members of Congress. Remember the Congressional Black Caucus. Understand that there's a whole big push toward socialism / communism by way of the Congressional Black Caucus. They're not sitting back. watching things happen. They're actually making things happen. If not, I'm going to be getting in the first hour in the, tomorrow. I believe I'm going to be getting into more of our findings. Again, hopefully with Randy Taylor, if not, but some of our findings, at least that we can talk about without necessarily compromising our investigation. Again, thank you so very much for joining us. HagmanStore.com for coffee. Please buy your coffee at HagmanStore.com. Let proceeds go to help fund the fight against child sex trafficking. That's HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com, HagmanReportLive.com, and HagmanReport.com, our websites. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. Good night.